Yeah, thanks for agreeing to do this. I think it's cool. Like, you know, us smaller YouTubers can create a vibe of our own. I saw you say that you made a comment about the, oh, I forget the Power Kiddie's name because it's got such a jolly long name. Were you on the Retro Handles podcast recently?
Yes, yeah, actually last night. It was it was very much a, like, they pinged the chat. Like the podcast people, and I've done a few with them, and they were like, "Oh, it's gonna be tonight," and I was like, "That's you know, 2 a.m. Sure, I can show up." And I was like, "Only for an hour though," yeah. And then I was there for the whole stream.
Of course, yeah, because you probably got triggered by certain things and had to stay to join the argument.
Yeah, I got humiliated by my RGB 10 Max 3, so that was nice.
Yeah, interesting device. One of the things that I really enjoyed about the podcast that I've seen with some Retro Handheld guys is, like, specifically I saw an interview with Wicked Gamer. I don't know if you've seen some of his vids.
Yeah.
And he's a real character, and it was really nice to just hear the inside scoop from another YouTuber, not just about the handhelds, you know? So I thought you and I can just have a chat and talk through some things and put two tech guys together. We're going to go down some rabbit holes, so that'll be fun. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your YouTube channel. Specifically, so I've watched a whole lot of your vids and checked out what you've been up to. You seem to have a slightly different filming technique to everyone else. Maybe it's just because I overanalyze these things. Is that like a conscious choice that you're doing there?
I guess I'd say yes and no.
Okay.
I think a lot of what I do is because of my very, very limited space. I live in a fairly small apartment. I really don't have any room. Everything you see is on my dining table.
Okay.
And it's a small one. So I think that, in a way, has made me record things in basically any way that I can. And it's also why I have a really big focus on the top-down stuff. I have been trying to add more perspective. And if you look in a couple of my more recent videos, a lot of the shots are right in front of my window because I have this big Juliet balcony with window light pours in. I have a studio light behind me. And that way I get, like, this really bright effect. But that's really the limit of what I'm able to accomplish in this space. So.
Yeah, well, like, I feel like limitations create creativity. I often feel like once you take the lid off that, I find I lose inspiration. I was heavily into cameras and all that for a long time. And once cameras became sort of perfect and, you know, you can pretty much just put a camera in a corner and can do everything for you. Once it became like that, I got really bored of them. It's the limitations that I found inspiring. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think also one thing that I do that's maybe a bit different is I tend to focus really heavily on really close-up shots. Mm. Like, I try and get really close into either the screen or the controls. Like, if I'm talking about something, I try and get real close just because... Actually, I mentioned it a while ago. I was doing these, like, macro videos where I actually had a macro lens on my phone camera and I was going in really close. Mm-hmm. And that was just because that's something that I always wanted to see, but I never did.
Yes.
You know, when I get excited about a device, I want to see everything about it. And I thought that was a really cool way to do that. So now I haven't done those in a while, but when I do record footage, I try and make sure I capture every part of the device really close up if I can.
Yeah, I think it's a really unique choice. I know a lot of people are trying to do that. I don't think everyone gets it right all the time. But I'm going to actually jump to another question, which is later. So I was going to do it later. But just this afternoon, I watched Wolf Den. And I find often us as YouTubers, the disagreements between our videos can be quite stark. Like, why do you think that is? Because like, I watched his video and I thought, that's not right. And you know, he's a huge YouTuber. And I just like full on disagree, but he's probably right, but we just have such a different take on tech. And I mean, it's tech, surely everyone should kind of have a similar view on things.
Yeah, I think that it comes down to a lot of different things. And I think as YouTubers specifically, it's quite different from being just like a normal consumer.
Yeah.
And I think one thing is we all test things differently, right? So the way that I might test a device might be a completely different way to the way that you test it, and so you'll find things that I didn't, I'll find things that you didn't. And I've got a pretty decent example, I think, which is I've got my RGB 10 Max 3 here.
Oh, yeah.
And something I noticed on this device instantly was this vent makes your fingertips hot while you play, and it's the worst experience in the world. You know, you're right here.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anybody else talk about that. So to me, this is a complete and utter deal breaker. Like, I cannot play this device for too long.
Yeah.
But somebody else, another YouTuber, might not have even noticed that because they're not as sensitive to it. And, we all have
Okay.
preferences and stuff. Like, I guess one of my characteristics is I really like things that are a bit janky, things that are a bit worse, things that, a device that has a few more rough edges is
Yes.
much more entertaining to me than the be-all perfect
Yeah.
device. So, I think that all of those things color our opinions and, change the way that we feel about certain topics. I like seeing everybody else's different opinions, and it's really interesting to, comment on a video and say, "Did you notice this? Because it's driving me totally insane, and you didn't even mention it." I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I mean, I often will, I'll make a video. Sometimes I try to be super comprehensive, and sometimes I'd like to be a bit more sort of storytelling. And then I'll finish the video, especially one of my comprehensive videos, and then I'll watch like yours or Retro Gamecore or somebody will pop up on my feed. And I'm like, I completely forgot to talk about that huge thing on that device, you know? And I don't know, I suppose there's so much to talk about. But I think that's probably why it's such a fun little world to be in.
Definitely. I think it's really nice to, hear everybody else's opinions. And I think something is, no matter how comprehensive I get, I always leave out something that somebody else will notice, and
Yes.
vice versa. And I just find that fascinating. And,
Yeah.
I think that's part of why it's nice to have, a community of creators, especially, let's with our, retro handheld thing. There's currently a few companies who are working with most of us to send us stuff to review, so we're all kind of getting the same thing
Yeah.
all at the same time. But as a result, our viewers, people who are interested in this stuff, can watch all of our videos and get a lot of different perspectives, so I think it's nice.
Yeah, on that note, because this became a huge issue in the camera world where, so none of us are really endorsed, but for instance, I think it was yourself, because we've been chatting a lot it's called X now, but we've been chatting a lot on Twitter. And I mentioned how specifically a big camera YouTuber, been watching him for years, and then after years, he disclosed that he was a promoter of this specific camera brand. And like you say, there's specific companies that are kind of supporting us, like sending us devices and that kind of thing. How do you navigate that? Because I feel like that as this industry grows, because now it's like really niche, but it is growing quite rapidly, probably going to become an issue as we grow. What's your kind of plan to navigate that?
It's really difficult. It's a really, really, really difficult thing to navigate. I mean, this is totally new territory for me. You know, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this and
Yeah.
achieved any level of success, especially where I've been, sent stuff to review. And I think one of the issues is we need to be careful and listen to our viewers regarding what they say. So
Yeah.
I've certainly had feedback based on a company. I've been sent a device by a company. My viewers don't like that. They don't like that company for very specific reasons. Actually, when that happened, this is a true story. When that happened, I still had two more collabs with that company coming up. And that made me really nervous because
Yeah.
my priority is always going to be my viewers.
Yeah.
And, I think what you were saying on Twitter, that about an endorsement, when you find out that somebody has been, without telling you, endorsed by this company, I think that could be a bit of a betrayal. Whereas I think what's happening with our industry, we have a lot of small resellers who are trying to,
Yes, they're just trying to
start a
build their little
business.
businesses, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's a bit different, but I definitely think it's important to listen to our viewers, and it's important to hold the people that we're working with to account, because for me especially, not being an affiliate marketer or anything, not having any experience in that, it's really easy to be really excited. Oh, I'm getting sent this thing I probably wouldn't have got otherwise. And that's really good, but at the same time, when all my viewers are like, maybe you shouldn't work with them, I need to prioritize that.
Yes, take cognizance of that.
And I personally also, I try and make sure that what I'm reviewing is relevant to the channel. And
Yeah.
that's not always the case. And, a big thing for me is trackballs and pirates. If it's a trackball thing or a pirate game thing, I'm probably going to put it on the channel.
Okay.
There's a trackball video coming. But, there's also been times where I've got something and I've reviewed it on the channel and I've been like, this just wasn't relevant. Like, it's
Yeah.
just, and, not only does it not get any views, nobody's interested in it, but also I just spent like a week making this video. That's a week of productivity I could have used to make something valuable.
Yeah, that's the thing,
And for
man.
me, when I make videos, I try and focus on the value to my viewers.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, so I'm also I'm kind of on the fence right now because my channel's just kind of broke even. So I'm at the point now where I can buy maybe one device a month from the channel. I don't make any money from the channel, but at least then I've bought that device. I find as soon as, so for instance, I'm in the situation now where I've got about three devices, and one specifically I really don't want to review because I just find it boring, you know? I know I'm not going to bring a quality video to the audience because I'm just not interested in that device. So yeah, so I'm just gonna kind of disciplined get through that. But I suppose as a small YouTuber, you get a little bit scared to say no to these people. But you know, I think it's one of those opposite things. If we resist these companies from pushing us to do certain things, our channel will actually grow because we'll build that trust with the people, you know?
Yeah, so something that's really, really important is to have a, you know, a code of ethics where you say, you know, like to me, like the baseline thing is you don't tell me what's in my video and you don't see it before it goes live, right? That's simple.
Yeah,
But
that's
also,
like
you know,
the basics,
you
yeah.
have to be ready to disappoint the company or people that you're working for. So I did a review a long time ago of some Steam Deck accessories. And the weird thing is I reviewed this company's Switch accessories and they were great. I gave them a glowing review. Then I
Okay.
reviewed their Steam Deck accessories and they were awful. They were
Okay.
absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And that's what I said in my review. Of course, weirdly enough, I still get some affiliate purchases with that review somehow. But you know, you have to be ready to be really critical and know that, yeah, this may well sever this relationship with the
Yeah.
company. And so that's why I think it's really important that, you know, when we collaborate with a company to receive a product, if we think we are not gonna like the product, we need to consider that, you know, we need to always give an honest review. That's number one, right? Value to the viewer.
Yes.
But then we also need to be ready to be like, listen, your product's kind of,
And lose that
you know,
relationship.
bad.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, give, I always give the, give the company feedback and give an honest review on the channel. And that's really all we can do. But
Yeah.
right now, I think, you know, this industry is pretty small. We've got a few small companies. They're, you know, a varying popularity and customer support and stuff. But I don't know. For the most part, I think it's just important to be honest with my viewers. And that's what I try and do, even when it potentially
Yeah.
wrecks my chances
Yeah.
of collaborating in. But you know, the whole point is the more that I do this right now, at the level I am now, the less I will have to do it in future.
Exactly. I think it's
And
important to do it now at
also,
the grassroots level. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. And also, you know, I know that Rob Retro Tech Dad has just received like the One X Fly, and I'm pretty sure he got sent it by One X Fly directly. And so once you're getting
Okay.
stuff from the manufacturer, it's a different game because you're not promoting somebody who's trying to sell this. Well, you are, of
Yeah,
course.
well, yeah, but
You know,
it is
it's
a
different
different
collaborating with a
relationship.
manufacturer versus a
Yes.
reseller.
Yeah, I really pre I like he's such a master, old Casey Neistat. I haven't watched him for a while, and then I saw he's got a Insta360 Go, the new camera, and he did a video. He's just so freaking good. He just created a conversation about it. So his introduction to his brand endorsement with Insta360 Go is a review and telling everyone how he ended up becoming the brand guy, the ambassador. And I thought that was a really clever way of doing it. And then just kind of bringing his audience into the conversation, going, this is why I decided to endorse them. Great products. I'm in it for a year. I'm going to be telling you all about this product. And then people are like, okay, cool. Whenever he tells us about the product, he is part of the brand, but he's been honest about it, you know? And I think that's the way we need to move forward. I wanted to ask you about your, like, I have like a story I tell everyone about how I got into this. Do you have like a little, how did you get into retro gaming? I know your channel's not just about
Well,
retro gaming, but yeah.
yeah. I mean, when it comes to video games, I guess like I reject the term, but I've been described as a bit of a hipster because I don't really play many modern games. I just
Okay.
don't. I don't really find them very interesting. And so, you know, I've always been playing older games. You know, all the way back. I guess my first real like retro handheld would have been the Xperia Play, which was Sony's 2011 gaming phone.
I remember you go,
Had like.
yes, I listened to a podcast, a Retro Handouts podcast where you went on about this. Yes.
Yeah. That thing, I'm not going to talk about it because I'll go on for hours. But it was the first device that had like, you know, a widely available app store, internet connection constantly. You could download emulators and all of that. And I played everything under the sun on that device. Like, then after that, I didn't really do it anymore. You know, I did a bit with like hacked Vitas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I even tried a little bit on the original DS, which those emulators were just not great. But then, I actually bought my brother a Retroid Pocket 2. No, that's not true. Okay, I bought my brother an RGB 10 Pro, and
Okay,
I
yes.
was gonna, give it to him as a gift because I thought it was really cool, and I accidentally broke it. And so by the time I got around to fixing it, because I ordered a new screen and stuff, his birthday had come and gone, so I actually sent him a Retroid Pocket 2 instead, or 2 Plus, and I kept the RGB 10, and that was like the perfect starter device
Yes.
because, it's Linux based. It's very, very hackable. You can upgrade the speaker, you can change the battery, like you can do all this stuff to it.
Yeah.
You can change out the analog stick, and that was really the one. And it has a 3x2 aspect ratio screen, so you could play GBA games on it like
Yeah.
flawless. It was
Yeah, it just
amazing.
yeah.
And so that was really my first like retro handheld device.
Cool.
And then I got the Retroid Pocket 2 Plus as well, and that was really good. That I booted up a Sega Saturn game, like Sega Rally Championship, and I was like, I can't believe you can emulate this. Because last I had tried to emulate Saturn like years ago, and it just on my PC, and it just didn't work. Like it
Yeah,
was
it's
way
difficult
back
to
in the
emulate. Well,
day.
it was, yeah.
And then, to have it in my pocket on this little device was crazy.
That's
And then,
mind-blowing.
I saw the Miyu Mini, and I was like, oh, I gotta get one of those. And then the
Yes.
Miyu Mini is really where, I got the Miyu Mini and I was doing a bunch of stuff with it, and I was looking around, I was like, you know what, there's really not a lot of tutorials or information about this thing, and I've spent so long tinkering with it, I should share what I've learned.
Yes.
And that's where, RetroBreeze kind of started out.
Yeah.
Just, I was crawling Reddit for people asking questions about the Miyu Mini and then making a video on it. And actually, I need to get back into that workflow, but I've got too many devices to review first. But yeah,
Yeah.
that's really how I got into the retro handheld stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the RGB 10 was a classic. I actually never, so that's just before I started getting into it. I got the RGB, not the RGB, the RG350M. I got it for
Okay.
myself for Christmas. So I got a Famicom clone from the Chinese mall here in town, and they shipped it with the wrong power supply. So it burnt out within the first few weeks, and I was like quite bummed because it really brought me this like nostalgic joy. And then
Yeah.
I went down the rabbit hole on Google, and then I found Retro Game Core, and then it was just all over. And I got the
Yeah.
RG350M
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Christmas, and it was all from there. But
Yeah,
yeah.
Retro Game Core is like the one that when you start watching, it's like, yeah, I gotta get into this.
I'm
Like,
in. I'm
gotta do it.
sold. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a cool little journey. And yeah, but what. So for me, what happened was from the channel point of view was at that point, I only really knew about Retro Game Core and a few other YouTubers. I hadn't really realized how, well, I know it's small, but it's quite a big niche for a small niche. And then I saw Retro Game Core was going on holiday, and I had just received the RG35XX like weirdly early. Like for me, that's very strange. I always get everything late. And so I noticed nobody was making videos of the RG35XX. So I just went all in and I made
Yeah.
these deep dive vids. And still, those are the best performing. My RG35XX is about to hit 100,000 views, which is my first video ever. So, that's
Yeah.
how mine started.
Yeah, and it's a great device to get started on as well.
The
I mean,
350M.
the 35XX and the Miyu Mini are really similar in concept
Yes.
and in terms of community support.
Onion OS was fun, the way that came about. So I gave people like daily updates on Onion OS and how it was going. Not Onion, Garlic OS.
It still hasn't cinched the Miyu Mini for me or the Miyu Mini Plus. I still think in terms of software, they're just a bit better. They're a bit more, they feel a bit more rounded,
Polished,
like
yeah.
something you could buy from the store.
Yes, I agree,
But I
yeah.
do love the 35XX and I do want to return to it
Yeah.
eventually.
Yeah, my thoughts, because I don't think I've done a comparison video, which I should, because like I've got a huge viewership who just love the 35XX. But my thing is the Miu Mini Plus has got that retro factor, the retro feels. It just feels like an old Game Boy, and it's got that polished, like from the store software feel. But the 35XX is just solid. It's built like a tank, you know? So for me, that's like the comparison there.
The thing with the 35XX, I can't handle it. And this is something that I think, as far as I've seen in reviews, only I've ever pointed out,
Yes.
is that bottom left corner just jams into my hand, and like it's painful. Like the corner is so like, no, don't look at it because you're gonna notice it now. It's gonna
You've
wreck the
ruined it for
device
me.
for you. But
The
yeah, like
bottom
it
left.
just pushes into my palm and it
Oh.
gets pretty sore. So I never really, I don't know, it's just something.
See,
Yeah,
I've
see,
got
I
long,
hold it
skinny
totally different.
fingers. So, yeah, I've literally
If I
never.
was holding it, I'd
Whoops.
be like this. I'd be like this with my hands like
Okay.
crunched against it.
Yes.
So maybe that's why. That's
Yeah.
not this device, but
So that you, but you see that therein lies the secret. You've got to watch all the YouTubers. That is the secret for people watching.
yeah, exactly. You know, and it's another thing of perspective, you know. If that hadn't have happened, I hadn't noticed it, I probably would have given it a massively glowing review. But for me personally, it just wasn't quite right, even though it's an excellent handheld.
Yeah, interesting, eh? So what's your favorite retro system? Or do you have a favorite?
In terms of like real retro,
Yeah, like
in
proper
terms of
retro,
like
yeah.
old consoles, yeah, proper retro. It's really hard to say, to be honest. I have a lot of nostalgia for the Sega Saturn, because it was
Okay.
like, you know, I was just old enough to be like sentient, and my grandma just like surprised me with a Saturn, and it
Old
was
enough
just
to be
like,
sentient. I love that. Okay, cool, yes.
yeah, and it was just like mind blowing, you know. And I was playing Sonic R and Sega Rally, and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, all the Sega stuff, you know, here in UK and wider Europe, Sega was really popular. My first
Yes.
ever game was Sonic 1. I've
Yeah.
been a Sonic fan my whole life,
Yeah,
and
here as
you know,
well.
it's all the Sega
Yeah.
stuff, to be honest. Yeah. But then I also have just a huge hole for the like soft spot for the PSP. The PSP 2000, the
Me
PSP
too.
Go, like, oh, like, I mean, that's by far my most played system, like by far.
Yeah.
And it has the most games that I think are just phenomenal.
Yeah, it was incredible for the time. The graphics on the PSP at the time were just insane. I mean, if you played
And now when
through.
you upscale it, they look like PS2 games or better. In like
Yeah.
look at Dissidia Final Fantasy upscaled.
Yes.
Like, it's
It's
unbelievable.
crazy. My son's been playing on this. I need to make a video about it. It's a little. At one of those little TV boxes, but the little stick that you stick into the HDMI ports. And he's been playing PSP on the TV. So I hadn't really tested the device yet. And then he was like, "Oh, Dad, look at these cool games." And I thought it was a higher end system, but it was PSP. And it was scaled up to 720p on a big screen. It was crazy. Really good.
And the emulator is so mature now, like it's pretty much like as close to a perfect emulator as you
Yeah.
can get. And you know, now we're at the level where PSP is starting to become a prerequisite, like it always works,
Yes.
which is just, oh, it's
That's a
amazing.
cool
But yeah,
place to
you know, all
be.
the Sega stuff, Sega Mega Drive, Dreamcast, Saturn, and then the PSP, I'd say, are all my major things.
Yeah. Yeah, I was chatting to a friend I made also via YouTube. He's from Iceland. So everything you get from the States, it's like Nintendo was the biggest. Pretty much on, you know, on the handheld side, and then until PlayStation came along, the Nintendo, you know, systems were the biggest. Whereas here, and he was explaining outlying areas and Europe, Sega was at the top of the game, and then for the handheld
Way more
console,
popular.
yeah, and handheld consoles, the PSP was the one that was like here. I don't remember the DS. Like I remember the DS. The DS Lite, but that's the only Nintendo console I remember. And then the Game Boy from the 80s. In between that, it was PSP. Like it was the one that was winning.
See, the thing is, I was working at a video game shop at the time that the DS was like at the height of its popularity.
Okay.
This was the DS Lite, followed by the DSi. And the thing is, it wasn't popular with gamers. Like, it was a little bit, but it
Yes.
was popular with especially older people,
Yeah.
with, you know, parents, you know, brain training.
Yes,
Like,
that
it
app.
sounds kind of
Yes.
silly if you're like a gamer.
Yeah.
But, you know, people were getting real value out of these systems, people who had never played games before. And, you know, one second you're playing brain training, the next you're playing, I don't know, Fire Emblem,
Yeah.
you know. And I think the DS was, I mean, it was insanely popular, but just not in the way that, you know, most other games consoles become popular. I'd say that the Switch is similar these days, but the Switch has definitely reached both of
Yeah,
those
definitely.
markets.
Yeah,
But then
they've
again, the
crushed it with the
Wii,
Switch.
I mean, the Wii was exactly the same, you know, Wii Fit, Wii Sports, you know, we had, you know, people running care homes coming in and just buying
Yes.
stacks of Wiis because the older people could play them, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when you look at the markets between gamers and everything else, I think the PSP was probably the more popular system for gamers, and then, the DS was just more popular overall because of everything else.
That was just new to me because, like, when I got into retro gaming now, the main reason is because I couldn't afford all this stuff growing up. And so I'm like just enjoying all this nostalgia of the things that I saw friends doing and other people owning. And now I can play it all, you know? And so then I learned all this stuff about the history of gaming and
When I was actually when I was working in the game shop, it's quite a notorious one in the UK called GameStation, and they're gone now. Actually, I was laid off when they shut down,
Ah,
which is
same.
fine. I was there when GameStation made the like executive decision to get rid of all their retro games. Like, they weren't going to do retro games anymore. Basically, we had to destroy them, which, as you can imagine, we didn't do.
Of course not.
But the thing is that working there, I usually like wasn't buying the new stuff. I was buying like the retro games, like the old retro games that we had, and then, when that time came, I just, bought a bunch of them, and, took them home instead of destroying them. And, that's part of the reason why, I never really got too into the mainstream stuff. And, when it comes to like Call of Duty and, stuff like that, I'm just not that interested. But, the retro stuff, I mean, I'll take it all day for sure.
I'm loving just the discovery of it. Okay, so you mentioned some games that you're currently playing. What are those?
So right now I'm playing on my own. I'm mostly playing Sonic Frontiers. I'm playing that on my AYN Loki, which is a device that has had the biggest redemption story for me. Going from insane hype to absolutely despising it when I got it,
I
to
remember that,
now it's like one of my favorite handhelds. I absolutely love it. I play it every day. But I'm only playing Sonic Frontiers on it. It runs great, and Sonic Frontiers is a cool game. It's a game that I hate as much as I love. And it's a controversial opinion in the Sonic communities, that I just think the writing and the storyline is just awful. It's so bad. And it's so misdirected. It's such a depressing story with, you've got a bright blue cartoon hedgehog just being a wet rag the whole game. It's very silly. But they recently did an update which adds a feature that basically breaks the physics of the game and lets you like fly across the map. So you can do this move called a spin dash, and what they did is that in the original release, when you run and jump, you don't maintain your momentum, and when you boost up over a crest of a hill, you stay on the ground. But with this new feature, if you go over a crest of a hill, you leave the ground and you keep your momentum. So basically, you can just ramp off, and any ramp of like a 10 degree angle, like any 10 degree incline, is fair game to just fly across the entire map. And it's just, and on top of that, they added a bunch of collectibles and side things to do. So now you can just run around and have fun. And so that's been a real, a redeemed game on a redeemed console for me, which is kind of fun. I've also been playing Oracle of Ages, the Zelda Game Boy Color game. My wife and I play it on Switch with a Joy-Con each, which is always fun. We've actually played Zelda Link Awakens, the remake, on Switch, and Tunic in that configuration, and it's a lot of fun.
The only games I can get my wife to play are Tetris. Is Tetris? It's the only game. I've literally got the flip. So I joke because I'm like, it's a 2,000 rand device that she's playing Tetris
Yeah, that's right.
on. Overkill. But I discovered
But yeah,
PSP
my
Tetris, which is quite nice.
you should try the Tetris on 3DS was really,
3DS.
really good.
Okay, I'll see if it runs. Cool. I'll check it out.
But we've also been well, my wife is like a like old school Nintendo gamer. We've seen all the old Zelda games and stuff. It's been really fun to go back to play those. And the Switch, with the Joy-Con set up, one Joy-Con each, it makes it really fun to play. And we don't step on each other's toes too much.
Well, that's where I think Nintendo really were always the best, is just the social fun aspect of gaming, you know. And they always focus on that, and they stuck to their guns, even when it was kind of almost playing against them at times with the Wii. But they just kept going, and I think it's paid off.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting point because, if you think about the original Game Boy, link cables were like a brand new thing. You can link your two devices together. The DS had Wi-Fi. I mean, that was way back in the day. And then the Wii, was a very social console. And then the Wii U was not, right? The Wii U was very, the whole point was it was called U. It was much more an individual thing, and it totally bombed. Complete like one of the
I
hugest
just don't
bombs.
remember seeing it. Like I've seen it on Facebook
Yeah,
Marketplace,
exactly.
but I don't remember seeing anyone play one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, the Switch comes out and the first video, like the first trailer, they show people grabbing a Joy-Con each. They got the kickstand of the Switch out, they're playing together. And that brought, and that's brought it all back. So, I mean, of course they've reached like peak, the peak hybrid of a social and individual device with the Switch, I think. But
Yeah, it's excellent. It really is.
yeah.
Cool. So, what do you do for fun? Apart from sit in front of a camera?
Yeah, well, making videos is fun, isn't it? Does that count?
Yeah.
I mean, I spend 90% of my time making videos
As
now.
in.
That is a lot of fun. But outside of that, my wife and I very much live the cafe culture here in York. We go out cafes every day. I love to walk. Ramble if I can go off into the countryside and walk for hours, I will. And then I do a lot of 3D design and 3D printing in my spare time as well. And that's something I've tried to bring to the channel a bit. But I mean, a 3D printer is 50% printing cool stuff and 50% trying to fix it when it breaks. So
Okay.
that content is very slow. But
Yeah.
I'd say that my main hobby, like I invest real time in outside of making videos, is definitely 3D design and 3D printing.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I just recently got diagnosed with ADHD. I'm like 43 years old, so it's a strange time of your life to be diagnosed with that. So, my brain is everywhere, and in the last few years, I've managed to focus it on things. So, for example, my YouTube channel has gone through like three or four evolutions to reach this point where I'm actually doing retro gaming. Fortunately, kind of in the same niche, like middle-aged men interested in hobbies. So fortunately, like, kind of stayed in the thing. But
Yeah.
I went from vlogging to drones to cameras to just kind of faffing around with nothing, and now finally retro gaming and. Yeah, I finally found a focus. But yeah, I think it was also just all my hobbies, and I had to eventually, I was like, listen, dude, you're getting older. You've got to like focus on something. Just do it.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm similar as well. I've always struggled to stick with one thing, and
Yeah.
One of my, I guess another one of my characteristics is I need to see results quickly. And I don't
Yes.
mean like as in like measurable success over time or anything. I mean, if I start doing something, I'm much better off when it's finished fairly quickly. And so,
Yes.
making videos was almost like a revelation for me because, I can start recording a video, I can record the audio, script it,
Yes.
record the thing, edit it, and then upload it, and then it's done. I can't touch it anymore. So it has to be
It's
finished.
done. Even if it's not done,
And
it's done because it's uploaded. It's
yeah,
there.
it's
Yeah.
been, I upload it, even if I'm really unhappy with it, it's done, I move on to the next one. And that's been really good for me.
Yeah.
And also, I love the niche, I love the tech. I mean, I by far like the tech more than I like playing the video games on them. I mean,
Yeah.
that's,
Yeah.
that's just what it is. I actually don't play that much in my spare time anymore. I rarely sit down for an evening and play a game on my own.
Yeah.
If I'm playing Sonic Frontiers, it's because I've got the Loki, I'm cooking dinner, stirring the pasta and playing Sonic,
Yeah.
But producing videos has been a really good thing for me. Like in my personality, it's just kind of
Yeah,
worked.
me
So.
too. Yeah, definitely. That finality, I think, is quite good for your mental health. Because a lot of things in life are just all over the place, and you never feel like you're done, So it's a really nice thing to have where you build something, it's done, and you just can't do anything more about it. It's finished.
Yeah, I won't go into this in too much detail because it makes me sound really depressing. But for a long time, around 2014 and for the next few years, I was doing game development, and I released a few like small games, like one on Android, a couple on web, and nothing monetized or anything, just fun projects. But like the insane amount of time and effort I put into that to get so little out
Yeah.
drove me crazy, and
Yeah.
I'm so completely jaded on development now, like coding and stuff. I do it a bit professionally, but that's different. Yeah, it's my job. But
Yeah.
so I've always been involved in like the video game stuff, whether it's playing them or trying to make them, or now doing videos about them. But this has been the one like topic, making videos, that's been really good for me. That's just, I can do it in my style, I can use my personality, I can do it in my way, and I can get out and finish it and move on to the next one.
Yeah.
That's just been really good for me.
Well, I was just going to ask you, because this is very much just niche for YouTubers, but how do you find, like, Okay, I have been very busy, but I just found the backlog of devices completely overwhelmed me just mentally. I've been really struggling to just take a device, make a video, and get it done because there's just so many. And let's say, for instance, I got the 35XX. I'm like, this was very popular on my channel. I think I must do a comparison with Mi Mini Plus. And then the metal version of the RP3 Plus arrives, and I'm like, oh, but I got it. That's new. People want to see that
Yeah,
because
you
that's new.
gotta do that.
You know, and then I just get so overwhelmed and then end up doing nothing. Do you struggle with that?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, I think this goes back to the previous points about working with companies and also value to your audience. And for me, I mean, hold on, I'm gonna think right now. I've got this thing right here, I've got this thing here, I've got two in my box over there, and I've got a box of stuff down there. All of those are things that people are waiting on me to make content for that I've
Freaks me
agreed
out,
to do.
man. Freaks me out.
And it's extremely tough. And to be honest, I think that, again, as a small YouTuber, I was really excited to start getting stuff. And, you know, being sent something to make a review, it's really fun. I really love doing it, but I have too many right now. So, like, if I was to be asked right now if I wanted something, unless it was really special, I would say no, because I just gotta get through this stuff. But yeah, I definitely struggle with it. And I think that, now, this is a case of me not practicing what I preach, but a while ago, I reached a really good equilibrium of one review and then one other topic. So, like a review and a tutorial, a review and I don't know, a pirate game video, something like that. And that was a really nice way to balance that out until I just got too many devices. And now, really, like I'm doing this series of Miu Mini Port tutorials. I was meant to do one a week, but I mean, I have so many devices here. It's been, I think, like 3 or 4 months since the last episode. So it's
That's
definitely an
tough.
issue. I don't really have a good answer, other than you just gotta. I think for me, I have to do it when inspiration strikes, right? So like the Powerkitty X28, I had that device for months. Like,
Oh, really?
I mean, to be fair, I went on holiday, but I was sent it by a company. I had it for months and months and months, and they were like, you know, you're gonna do a review, and I'm like, yeah, like I'll get to it as soon as I can. I usually say like 8 weeks, but it was way more than that. But then one day I was like, you know what? I love this thing so freaking much. I just want to talk about it. And so I was just like, I'm not even going to script it. I'm just going to get on my
Just
microphone.
get yourself
I'm just going to
moving.
record. Yeah, just, and then, you know, then you need to go back and refine it, maybe re-record a few things or whatever. You know, so it's important to do that. But then at the same time, I tend to try and think in like a marketing or business sense where I'm like, what do my viewers want to see right now? You know, and that's, so it's like, okay, the RGB Max 3 Pro. Like, I mean, people are desperate to hear about how amazing that device is. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I gotta get that video out like now. You know, I need to get it out now. But I probably can't because I've got, you know, if I get that out now, I've put all these other five things to the side. It's crazy. It's something I think I'll learn from experience when to accept, when not to accept. I think one that I'm talking about review products. I think that one thing that I will do from now on is I will always err on the side of rejecting an item to review unless it's really relevant and special. So, you know, I just did a review of a tablet and I really loved that tablet. In fact, I recommend it to everyone. I think it's an amazing little device for super cheap. But like, it wasn't particularly that relevant. And you know, I made the conscious decision. I was like, this is going to be an 8 minute long video. And it ended up being 12, which I was like, okay, that's not too bad. But like before that, I had reviewed a gamepad, and the review was like 27 minutes long, and I was like, what on earth am I doing? Like, for me, I can gush about that thing all day. I could make a 7 hour video without breaking a sweat, to be honest. But it's about, you know, I gotta tone it in, and I have to invest my time wisely. So when it came to this tablet, it was relevant to my channel, I really think it was, but it wasn't something that anybody's gonna be itching to see. So I was like, okay, I need to make this video short and I need to make it quickly. So I did that. But it's a different story when it comes to like retro handhelds, because those I feel like I really need to give a really good shot.
Yeah, that's I mean, you commented on it, the fact that I re-recorded the X28 video again, because I think it's because we care and we want to add value as well as please, you know, Palkidi or whatever it is. I was worried that, because I gave it a harsh review, and then I thought to myself, am I doing this because I'm trying just to be true to, you know, I don't want to please everybody. And then then I slept on it, and the next morning woke up and I was like, I actually really love this device with all its quirks. And then I made a new video, you know. So let's talk about the
Yeah,
X28,
exactly.
because I think
Yes,
that's one thing
but
where we both, like, I talked about people disagreeing and, you know, watching Wolf Den this morning going, I don't agree with that. But you and I seem to have come out the same end with this device, which is interesting, because we, I mean, we also, I've watched a few of your videos and I was like, wow, we really disagreed on that. So it's interesting that we aligned on this device. So what for you are, why do you love it so much?
Well, it's such a weird
Oh, for
device.
God's sake.
I always feel like I have to preempt this by saying it's a massively flawed device. It has some major, major problems that for some people are going to be total deal breakers. But gosh darn, is it just super fun. I think for me, I think the first thing with this device, and I didn't think this would be a big deal, but it is really light for how big it is, right? It's really lightweight. But then also, it's really wide. And so the weight is distributed really nicely, and it feels like nothing.
Which is
On
great.
au contraire, on the contrary, this one, which is the same chipset,
Literally
is
testing that
very
right now.
small, yet very small and very heavy. And I think that's why I haven't really enjoyed this device very much when everybody else loves it, but I love this one. And I think the X28, I think it has a phenomenal screen, and I think the screen is underrated. Like it gave me the same feeling as the Steam Deck. Because when I first turned on the Steam Deck, I was like, I can't believe they released the Steam Deck has a screen this poor. But then I got into a game and I started playing and I was like, actually, like this is perfect.
Perfect,
Like the colors are great, the low resolution just doesn't matter and all that. And I think the X28 is the same. Once you actually get into a game and you've got this big, glorious screen, I think it's just a really fun experience. And then I
It's
also
interesting.
think these slanted shoulder buttons are absolutely
Yes,
genius.
which you
Like,
mentioned in your video.
who the heck designed it? I
Yeah,
mean,
that is.
these slanted shoulder buttons, they bring the shoulders that much closer to the D-pad and the face buttons. Your hands just rest there. You can click them in from anywhere. Like, they're perfect. It's perfect.
It really is.
And then, I know you said in your video, you mentioned the glossy D-pad and stuff. I actually really like the glossiness. I don't know what it is about it, but it's just really comfortable to me. It's really smooth.
Yeah, I've grown to like it.
I think the X28 is a weird device, but I think, with the I think the ergonomics are like best in class, like literally best in class ergonomics. I think that the performance, like I said in my video, PSP, Dreamcast, and below, it's pick up and play on every single game. And then, with the Android native buttons as well, just make it a really well-rounded experience.
It's interesting because up until this device, I mean, I probably, in terms of just a unified, well-made, easy to use, throw in your pocket device, the RetroPocket 3 Plus probably is still like the top. Like, I'm gonna make a video about T618 devices and I'm probably gonna end up saying that is the best, but I still, like, I went back to, because I rehoused my RP3 Plus into the metal case, which actually looks, I know you also don't like two-tone, but in real life, it's so nice. Anyway, so I did that, and so I played it and messed around with it, made sure everything was working. And then after about 2 weeks, I picked up the X28 again, and I was like, I don't know. It's just, like you say, it's the slanted buttons, it's the balance of weight, the grip. It just works, man. Even, you know, like, and you mentioned this a bit more in your video, which I didn't major on it, but I agree with you. The more I've played with it, the sensitivity of these analog sticks is a little bit extreme, but I don't know. I don't care. I just like it.
Yeah, I think that's a me thing, because I'm one of those like weird people where I tend to play 2D games like with the analog stick anyway.
Yes, but
And so this
you kind of do end up doing that, eh?
yeah, and so like this snapping to the cardinals and the diagonals, it doesn't affect me that much. But I showed in my video a twin stick shooter, totally unplayable. So I really think it comes down to what kind of games you're going to play. And like I saw somebody say, oh, I mostly want to get it for streaming like FPS games for my PC. I like, don't do it. Like it's not going to work.
Agreed,
So yeah, I think it's such a weird device. But I think the thing about the X28 is it is best in class on the T618s in many ways that you wouldn't expect. certainly not performance,
Yeah, interesting, hey?
obviously, but you
Yeah,
know.
because I was tasting the RG405M this week in the early at the end of last week, and I noticed the performance is really good on the RG405M compare, and then I went back to the X28 playing God of War PS2, and there was a marked difference in performance.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it has much less power, and one of the devs, the Gamma Squeeze, has been working on it, and he says that like for some reason he just cannot up the frequencies of the CPU, like it just doesn't work on this device. So I don't know
Weird.
what's going on under the hood, but
Yeah.
you know, I think the X28 is, yeah, I think it's best in class in so many ways. I think it's best in class ergonomics, best in class screen in terms of size, best in class, you know, control feel, I think.
Yeah.
Speakers, of course, best, you know. I mean, the speakers on this thing are insanely
Lovely.
good for the
Yeah, and of
price.
course it's front facing, man. I don't know why.
Yeah, exactly. It makes a world of,
Yeah.
it can be the worst speakers, but they're front facing and they're better than everything else.
Exactly.
And then I also think that the battery life, the standby battery life, is phenomenal. This thing lasts a week on standby,
Really?
and you will still have like, and yeah, it's. I took it to Amsterdam with me. I went there for a week, and I didn't touch it the entire time, and I still had juice left in the airport on the way home. Like it's
That's
crazy.
insane.
It's so good.
Wow, I didn't even
And
notice that.
you know, I think that's what makes the X28 stand out is yeah, it's not the best performer yet, it's a little weird, it's a little cheap feeling,
Yeah.
but where it matters, it just does so well.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah, and that that's to segue into what I called that was my like clickbait for the last video was the PowerKitty problem, because now we can talk about the what's it the RGB Max 3 Pro, whatever it's called, RGB 10. Okay, obviously it is a clone of the Odroid Go Super, hey, or Ultra, which was a hobbyist device. So I'm guessing that was their thought process behind it. But you know, we're going from an X28, which has got so many things right about it, and then the very next device is just flawed in so many ways. What's your opinion on that?
So I wouldn't call the Max 3 Pro flawed. I would call it faulty. It's seriously that bad.
Yeah.
The thing is with PowerKitty, you have the RK2023, which I think was a fantastic mini handheld, excellent price, fully featured, whatever. I think then you had the X55, which despite the controversy that I might have stoked a little bit on my channel,
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
ended up being, you know, pretty decent as well. You know, if you
Yes.
want a big, less powerful, cheaper device,
Yeah.
you have the X28, an absolutely phenomenal Android handheld, one of the best. And then this thing. But
And
like out of those four devices, what do they have in common? Literally nothing. Not a single thing. The
then
design language, the
nothing.
build
Yeah.
materials, the very nature of the device. I have a theory that probably PowerKitty is licensing different devices by different from different
Yeah.
manufacturers, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's totally normal.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, they just throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and hope that it sticks, right?
Yeah.
But you know,
I think it's a bit of both.
I think that PowerKitty, they I can't work I can't figure them out. Because then sometimes, you know, I feel something like the X28 and I'm like, so much intuition and love went into making this thing really good, despite its problems. You know, it's good despite all its issues. But something like the RGB Max 3 is so freaking terrible in every way, from the design to the controls
Such a weird, eh?
to the
Yeah.
insane nature of the crashes on it, that I feel like they didn't care about this thing at all.
Yeah.
So I really can't figure them out, you know. I think they had really three really passionate good devices,
Yes.
and then one that just seems like they didn't they all they wanted to do was get your money for this, and it worked.
Yeah, because like you say, with you know, I sometimes I feel like PowerKitty is like Retroid, where they're passionate enthusiasts who make devices. And then they'll bring out a device, and you're like, they seriously don't give a crap. Like, well, who are they? You know, that's very strange.
You know, and the thing is, PowerKitty has mainstream releases, but then they have all their other weird little ones as well.
Yeah.
You know, like the X51 and stuff. And I mean, 99% of those are complete and utter trash. Like they're e-waste, they just don't really work. And so I feel like it was almost like a miracle that they released these three devices in a row that were really good, and I just can't really see any way that they were made by the same company. Like I just can't picture it personally.
Yeah.
I might be totally wrong about that, but either way, like The overall impression I get is they just don't care, and I think they would do it. I think like the lack of Wi-Fi in the RGB Max 3 Pro rig, like that to me tells me instantly that they don't care. There's no reason it doesn't have it other than they wanted to cheap out on a already expensive device. And it's just weird. It's just weird. I don't really get it. I think it's really disappointing. I had so much goodwill for Pow Kitty after the three before.
And that's killed it again.
And then to get this thing, I mean, this thing is so bad. I'm actually, speaking of rewriting videos, I've rewritten mine like three times because I keep finding more wrong with it. Like, just keep finding more things that are broken, and the performance is worse than I thought. Like, I just discovered the other day, N64 is like completely broken on mine. I've tried everything to get it working, but like, it's always maybe 20 FPS no matter what I'm playing. Like, the performance is terrible. But then on GameCube, the performance is freaking phenomenal for like 5 minutes before it crashes. Like, it's very
It is
strange.
bizarre.
But yeah, it's a weird device. It's a weird company. I do think they could learn. I think that they should learn from their success for it. Like, I mean, people loved the RK 2023, and what happened? People said, "Oh, I wish that you didn't have this branding on the screen, and I wish it had Wi-Fi." Boom, they released that. Some people think that's kind of sketchy, but to me, I'm like, that was them listening and paying attention. With the X55 debacle, that again, I might have stoked a bit, Pow Kitty were very communicative to me directly, telling me what was going on and how they're fixing it. And then I got the final device, which I've been meaning to review, and it's really great. It's pretty awesome. And the X28 has had software updates, which for Pow Kitty is insane. Like, they've actually released official updates. It's crazy.
But I
And
think
then again,
they definitely are
again
licensing
they
these things to people, you know, they must be.
yeah and then after all of that, you get the RGB Max 3 Pro or whatever it's called, and I'm just like, oh, like, this is the old
Here
Pow
we
Kitty.
go
I
again.
thought they had and also, this is the closest to the other stuff that they've made versus the other three I was talking about. So maybe this one is Pow Kitty, and that's why it's rubbish.
Maybe. All right, let's fit. So I don't know, so I gave you the notes for this video a little bit late, so you didn't get a chance to think about this, but do you have any like worst comments that you've had on your channel that were just like offensive or just downright wrong?
I think there are people out there who will leave negative comments and stuff, and my reaction to most of it is to just ignore it. I don't think I think I'm lucky in that I haven't had any really nasty ones. But then I also have a weird thing where I don't really want to remove any comments either. So, if anybody's made any bad ones, they're still there. I don't take them down. I think like I've had people like say. But one thing I had was, oh, I can hear every time your lips smack. And like, that's not an insult, but to that comment, I was like, oh yeah, sorry about that. I've been I'm trying to improve my audio. And then the guy was like, oh no, it's okay. I was just critiquing you. And and then in the end, it's like, well, maybe they weren't, particularly horrible. But yeah, for the most part, I think I've been pretty lucky. If I did, I would probably just, I don't know. I think I know it's gonna happen. I don't really know how I'll react when it's really, really bad, but I guess I've been lucky so far.
When did you start your channel? How long ago?
Good question. Maybe about a year and a quarter or a year and a half ago, like properly.
Okay, all right. No, because so my channel historically is actually really old. So I was, you know, releasing weird videos, and so I would say my channel is about 6 years old, and there was a period, and so YouTube did a lot of work to stop the negative. So if you go to a channel that you know has made a very controversial video, or maybe a video that's complete garbage, the comments are usually still quite positive. And the reason is because YouTube are working like furiously to stop that negative culture. So that's actually one of the reasons why I stopped doing the drones, was because it was kind of pre-YouTube fixing all of that, and I was getting trolled, man. It was rough. I don't know if you remember. It was like about 4 or 5 years ago, and the YouTubers were like, "This is not good for my mental health. I'm not sure I'm going to keep doing it." It was around that time.
Yeah, I remember.
So I had one guy say to me, "Why do you have Ebola face?" Which was interesting. It's referring to my acne scarring. So that seems to have been fixed up. And also, I've changed my attitude. So I used to be very sarcastic. And so if someone said something mean, I would like say something very sarcastic and kind of condescending back, which obviously, you know, if what you put out into the world, like, it wasn't working. And so more of a giving nature, like you say, like reach out to them. What is it exactly you're actually asking? Or, and sometimes, you know, like you said, like the person will just flip because there's also that shroud of anonymity, you know, just the internet. I can just say what I want. And then they realize, oh, it's a real person. Like this guy's actually a person in the world, like living, you know? And I think that makes a difference.
I come from a like a customer success background professionally. I've always done that, and you know, a lot of the times I've been in a position where I get the you know the really unhappy people, and I need to you know help them out and calm them down. It's always there's always. And then not to sound all, you know, corny, but you know, there's always something going on, and you know, whether you want to take your time to address it or not is, you know, I mean, in the case of that comment, I mean, that's just plain awful. You know, that's not somebody making a criticism or,
It's got
you
nothing to do
know,
with
being
anything.
frustrated that they can't get their favorite game to work or something silly like that. So it's a different nature, but I don't know, for me, I think one thing is I'm not a very outgoing person. I'm, you know, putting myself out there, like just the decision to be on screen in the RH podcast, and before that to have my face reflected in the buttons on one of my videos, I actually had blurred it out, and it was right before I rendered the final video that I got rid of the blur. Like I was that nervous about it, but you know,
So you being here is
the
quite a big
more,
deal.
yeah, for sure, you know, and every time I appear with RH and stuff, you know, I haven't, I, oh, and the video I put out the other day of my retro game night, I mean, that was totally out of my comfort zone. But you know, the more you put yourself out there, the more you're open to attack. And you know, I think, you know, when you've got comments, it's 99.9999% a really rewarding experience. And so that one person that says something that's really awful, it's not a reflection of what people think of you and what, you know, whether people are enjoying your content, you know, and, you know, so I don't know, I guess I'm not. I think in my experience with customer service, you know, you need to hang up the phone if somebody's being abusive, right? But if somebody is asking for help in an aggressive way, maybe you can do something to turn
You can
things
work with
around.
that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably won't do that 99% of the time if somebody's just being awful. But maybe sometimes they'll be like, well, you know what, why don't you send me a you know, why don't you actually tell me what, you know, what's going on with your device that you're having trouble with? Maybe we can help. And then it's like, oh, well, actually, now I can play my favorite game, and maybe I was being awful. Maybe I won't do that in future. You know, that's the way that I see it. Sometimes you gotta nuke it from orbit, though. That's just how it is.
But that's why I have kept going with the retro gaming, and that's like a testament to just the community. And I think we do have people like Retro Game Core to thank, you know, he's like, you know, the pioneer almost. And like, I think people like him have put really good energy out there into the community, and it's just come back. You know, when I go onto the Discord, everyone's just pleasant, you know. When I started making videos, there were maybe one or two guys that were like, oh, who's this new guy just trying to capitalize on the growing niche or whatever. But most people were just really nice, you know.
And the thing is, you know, you'll get people that say something like that, and then you'll put out some really nice content, and they'll be like, well, actually, you know, that was a really good video, and suddenly I don't feel like that anymore. You know, oh, this is a different video than anybody else put out. You made a point about this device that's different from everybody else. Now I'm a bit more interested. So I think, you know, I think you're right. It's this guise of anonymity, and it's the ability to put something out there with no immediate danger. You know, and it's the same with Twitter, it's the same with everything, except for in person. You know, it used to be the same with text messaging. You know, you can say something and the person isn't right there, so you can get away with it almost. I think, you know, you can win people over just by being a pleasant force. And you know, I think that Russ with Retro Game Core, he's like the most perfect like figurehead for the community. You know, he has the perfect behavior, the perfect mannerisms, and it makes ripples in the community for other people to be like that as well. Like if you go and insult Russ, what's going to happen to you in the community? Like you're not it's not going to work out, you know.
For sure.
I think it's And also I will say as well, like this isn't the same as a gaming community, right? It's not the same as like Xbox
Exactly. We're
Live,
all just here to have fun. Like,
God
let's,
forbid. Yeah, we're just here to have fun, I think we're all kind of, 25 plus at least. We're a bit more mature and all that, and so I think that mostly, that, well, in fact, I would say entirely, I think the community is amazing, and 99.9% of people I've interacted with have been really nice, and the few people that aren't, it's fine. I'll either try and turn it around because that's what I do as a customer success engineer, or I will just ignore it.
We're in a great position where the guys who have sort of like won in this community are all just great guys. And that's, I think that's what's made the difference. So yeah, cool, man. Is there anything you want to add?
You should check out the portion of the stream I did with RH last night
Okay,
where
I'll
I
go check.
tried to make this thing crash.
Okay.
We did a challenge, like if you can guess the amount of time it would take for it to crash when I was playing a PS2 game, you would win a prize.
Okay.
And it went for 30 minutes, which is unprecedented for this device, and it was
So that's why
humiliating.
you posted on Twitter, oh, guys, straight afterwards it crashed.
It did, yeah. We were in the post-stream chat, and it crashed twice. That was ridiculous.
Funny. Thanks so much for doing this. And I didn't realize you weren't really into this kind of all this FaceTime stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it more and more. I need to get myself out there. I think, my self-confidence is something I really need to work on. So it's good for me. And I want to collaborate with people all the time. Like I'm always open for it. Like if you ever want to do something, like just freaking message me,
Cool,
I'll be
man.
there.
I'm in.